Now let's evaluate the disadvantages of this free for service health plan. This plan is too costly because providers tend to perform more procedures. Sometimes it may be unnecessary also because the payment is directly proportional to the amount and the services or procedures are unbundled and paid separately. Further to that, since the patients are indemnified by the insurance company against the cost of a medical services and procedures according to the benefit schedule of the policy, they too are inclined to welcome any services or procedures that the healthcare provider feels would help to the patient's condition. These type of insurance plans are slowly losing the market share to the bundled or integrated health plans. Let's now learn about managed care organization health plans. It differs from fee for service health plan in a sense that this does not provide the liberty to the patient to choose the provider. The premiums and deductibles are low as compared to the fee for service health plan and at times are very much fixed. The patient has to visit the service provider or the hospital within the network of the managed care organization. Due to the low cost of health insurance, these type of health plans are more popular among the employers and have gained acceptance all over the United States. It is an umbrella organization that contains different organizations within itself. Some of the common ones are Health Maintenance Organization, Preferred Provider Organization, and Point of Service Plan, POS. Now let's first learn about Health Maintenance Organization, HMO. This HMO was introduced to tackle the problem of rising healthcare cost through the Health Maintenance Organization Act way back in 1973. The Health Maintenance Organization charge the insured individual a fixed amount, and the exchange for the amount would allow the insured individual to receive the medical service from any of the healthcare provider or a hospital only within the network of the Health Maintenance Organization. Health Maintenance Organization assigns healthcare provider a group of insured individuals and pays the healthcare provider a fixed amount for the same called capitated payment. Preferred Provider Organization. This organization is which enters into the contract with a specific healthcare providers and hospitals under terms that they will be provided the membership of this PPO network, and in return the healthcare providers and hospitals would have to provide the significant discount in the regular fees to the insured individual. In this type of preferred provider organization health plan, the insured individual benefits from the discount rates, whereas the healthcare provider and the hospitals gets benefit from getting to see more number of patients than usual. So let's evaluate the difference between Health Maintenance Organization and Preferred Provider Organization. The one of the basic and major differences is in the Health Maintenance Organization, the insured individual cannot see healthcare provider or a hospital outside the network. In Preferred Provider Organization, the insured individual has option of utilizing the service of a healthcare provider and a hospital outside the network. However, it would cost more. Let's learn about Point of Service Plan. Point of Service Plan is a mix of Health Maintenance Organization and Preferred Provider Organization health plan. In this type of plan, the insured individual has access of healthcare provider and hospitals within the organization's network. But at the same time, the insured individual has the option of choosing a healthcare provider or a hospital which is outside the network also. If the individual chooses a healthcare provider or a hospital outside the network, he would have to pay little more fees out of pocket. Third is consumer-driven health plans. Consumer-driven health plan is similar to the preferred provider organization's health plan, except for a small difference, and that is it also provides a saving account to the insured individual. A certain sum of untaxed wages of the insured is deposited regularly into the saving account with or without an equal contribution from the employer, and this amount is utilized to pay for any out-of-pocket medical expenses that may arise in the future. These type of plans usually have a high deductibles and low premiums, and the funds deposited in the saving account is used to meet the high deductibles. So what we have learned till now is that health plans, there are three types: fee for services, consumer driven health plan, and managed care organization. And under this there are three: health maintenance organizations, preferred provider organizations, and point of service plan. So now let's learn about health insurance payer. Who is this? Health insurance payers are the insurance companies which provide coverage to the individuals purchasing one of the various insurance plan from the basket of plans available. If the individual is self-employed or employed with the employer that does not provide health insurance coverage, then one has to buy an individual health insurance plan. If the individual is employed and the employer provides health insurance coverage, then the individual will be covered under the group health insurance plan of the employer. Now let's understand the type of health insurance payers. Who are they? The health insurance payers can be segregated into three categories. Number one, public funded payers. Number two, private funded payers. And third, self-funded payers. Now, out of these one, health insurance payers will provide health plan coverage to an individual or a group of individuals for their medical needs. Now let's understand these types one by one slightly in details. Let's understand these public funded payers. These public funded payers are those insurance payers which are financially supported by the US government, either state government or federal government. They are also known as a government funded payers. In an effort to provide a quality and affordable health care to all the people, US government has started various insurance programs, each having different sets of eligibility and benefits. The most common government funded payers are Medicare, Medicaid, TRICARE, and child health insurance programs. So what is this Medicare? Medicare was founded in 1965, and Medicare is totally federal government funded program, and it provides healthcare coverage to individuals who are either above 65 years of age, to individuals who have some kind of a disability or end stage renal disease or amyotrophic lateral sclerosis patients. Medicare provides health coverage to approximately 54 million individuals in United States. What is this Medicaid? This was also formed in 1965, but Medicaid on the other hand is a partly funded by the federal government and partly funded by the state government. It provides healthcare coverage to individuals healing from low income groups. Since it is the partly funded by the state, each state has got its own set of rules and regulations, and hence Medicaid of a different states usually has a distinct set of features and benefits. Medicaid provides health coverage to approximately 66 million individuals in the United States. TRICARE was formerly known as a CAMPUS, which stands for Civilian Health and Medical Program of the Uniformed Services. TRICARE is a United States Department of Defense healthcare program funded by the federal government, which provides medical coverage to the active duty military personnel, retired medical personnel, and the dependents of the medical personnel. The fourth one, child health insurance programs. Child health insurance programs are funded by the state government and provides coverage to the uninsured children of the families whose income falls below a certain threshold. Now let's see the second type of payers, private funded payers. Who are they? Private funded payers are the group of insurance companies which are funded by private entities. Generally, the basic intention behind funding a private funded organization is to earn profit. But there are certain not-for-profit private funded organizations as well. They provide all type of health plans ranging from individual to group and health maintenance organizations and preferred provider organizations. These are several examples of private funded payers such as Agenta, Cigna, United Healthcare, Blue Cross Blue Shield, Kaiser Permanente, etc. Now let's see the examples of private funded players. The example of Aetna as a profit private funded player. The example of Kaiser Permanente, not for profit private funded player. And Blue Cross Blue Shield Association for hybrid, for profit and not profit private funded player. Aetna. Aetna is a for-profit health insurance payer which offers health plans and insurance solutions to individuals and a small and big size employers to provide coverage to the employees. It has a wide network of healthcare providers and hospitals and offers both the traditional type of plans as well as the consumer driven health plans to the members. Kaiser Permanente. This was formed in late 1930s, and this Kaiser Permanente is one of the largest not-for-profit health insurance payers. It used to provide industrial health care programs to the workers and was later in 1945 opened for the general public. It has introduced many unique features into the US healthcare systems since it is the institution such as prepaid health plan, physicians group practice and organized delivery system of a medical services. The third one, that is Blue Cross Blue Shield Association, is a federation of 37 different health insurance organizations, and then this BCBSA constitutes of a both for-profit and not-for-profit health insurance organization under its umbrella, which provides a product mix of health insurance plan to cater the unique needs of different individuals. Some of the most widely known companies which are the part of this esteemed association are WellPoint, Wellmark and CareFirst. Self-funded players are those big companies which provide the health coverage and disability benefits to its employees. These companies create a pool of their own funds from the partial or a total contribution and use this pool of a fund to meet the unforeseen medical expenses of the employees. one of the main disadvantages of this type of plan for the employer is unlimited risk of the employer is solely responsible to cater all the medical expenses of the employees irrespective of the volume and cost. Microsoft, Oracle and Apple are among the few companies that act as a self-funded insurance players. Now let's understand the term claim forms. We all know what is claim. Claim is the bill prepared by the medical biller to be submitted to the insurance company. And claim forms are either electronic claim forms or paper claim forms. The paper claim forms are also known as a manual claim forms or a physical claim forms. The electronic transaction rule of HIPAA, administrative simplification, and privacy advocates the use of standard electronic formats for transfer of healthcare information between two parties. Each and every covered entity is required to utilize the standard formats for processing claims and payments, as well as for maintenance and transmission of the electronic healthcare data. Adoption of electronic claim form provides several advantages over the traditional paper claim form. On an average, it is estimated that the error rate is anywhere between 25% to 30% when using paper claims, which can be substantially reduced with the use of electronic claims. Electronic claims are faster to process, which in turn leads to reduction in the reimbursement cycle, bringing the collection period down from an average of 60 days to 15 days. Electronic claims create a paperless and clutter-free environment. Electronic claims are advantageous than paper claim, but there are certain instances where still paper claims are being used. Paper claim forms are permitted to use by those providers who do not have computerization in their medical practice. Paper claim forms are permitted to use by those providers who have fewer than 25 full-time equivalent employees or a physician's practitioner's facilities or a supplier with fewer than 10 FTE employees. Now let's see the type of claim forms. There are three different type of claim forms used in the electronic transactions. Number one is CMS 1500, UB04, ADA J430D. Now these claim forms are printed with OCR dropout red ink. This OCR dropout red ink is a type of a ink designed to be intentionally ignored by OCR machines and just scan the text filled in the data fields. These claim forms are some of the same dimensions, that is 8.5 by 11 inches. Now let's learn about the type of claim forms. One of the form is known as a CMS 1500. Now this 1500 claim form is formerly known as a HICFA 1500, which is issued as a standard claim form to bill for a non-facility services such as healthcare provider services, transportation and durable medical equipment. The CMS 1500 claim form has 33 blocks over data fields marked required, required if applicable or not required, and the details have to be filled accordingly. These blocks can be broadly divided into two sections. The first section is block 1 through 13, contains the insured individual's details, and the second section is block 14 to 33, contains the healthcare provider supplier details. Let's see about UB04 form. UB04 claim form was formerly known as a CMS 1450, is the standard claim form sent to the insurance company to the bill इन पेशेंट चार्जेस फॉर सर्विसेस एंड प्रोसीजर्स डिलीवर्ड टू द पेशेंट. इट वॉज इंट्रोड्यूस्ड एज अ रिप्लेसमेंट ऑफ द UB-92 फॉर्म एंड दिस UB-04 क्लेम फॉर्म हैज 81 डाटा फील्ड्स नोन एज फॉर्म लोकेटर्स on the front side and are marked as a required or a situational or recommended or not required, and the details have to be filled accordingly. So now, what is the difference between CMS 1500 and UB-04? CMS 1500 is used for non-institutional providers and UB-04 is used for institutional providers. Structure of UB-04 form is much more complicated than the CMS 1500. Therefore, preparation of UB-04 claim form requires more expertise than preparation of CMS 1500. CMS 1500 form contains 33 data fields referred to as a blocks, whereas UB-04 contains 81 data fields referred to as a form locators. The third claim form is known as a ADA J430D. This claim form used by dentist for reporting dental services provided to the patient dental benefit plan. It is also known as a ADA dental claim form. It contains 58 data fields and in all to be filled in the file the dental claim. This ADA J430D is same as ADA J430, J431, J432, J433 and J434 forms. So we have seen about the forms. Now let's learn about the medical billing process. How the medical billing process takes place. Universally, there are three parties involved in medical billing process. Which are those three parties? Number one, the patient. That means the patient, the person who is insured individual. Second is the healthcare provider. That means a doctor or a physician or a hospital or a supplier. And the third is the payer. That means insurance company, health insurance company. The concept of medical billing for uninsured person remains the same in India as well as in US, as well as all over the world. In this scenario, only two parties exist. That is the patient, which is an uninsured individual, and the healthcare provider, maybe a doctor, physician, or an institution. The healthcare provider examines the patient and provides appropriate treatment plan. The patient in turn of the healthcare provider service pays specific amount or fees, and this terminates the medical billing process. The transaction takes place between the doctor, that medical provider, and the patient. Now, how this medical billing process takes place? The concept of medical billing for an uninsured person in India is entirely different from the United States medical billing process. The whole United States billing process can be summed up in 7 steps. Registration, demographics and insurance verification, medical documentation, medical coding, claim submission, payment posting, and account receivable and collections. The 7 steps. Let's learn these steps one by one, slightly in detail. The step number one, registration. For registration of a new patient, the front office staff obtains a minimal information required to schedule an appointment. In case of an established patient, the front office staff will verify the information and schedule an appointment. Step number two comes, demographics and insurance verification. In this step, verification of a demographics and insurance details are performed. Using electronic real-time eligibility, the medical biller can instantly and pre imperatively determine the eligibility of the patient. After confirmation about the eligibility of the patient, the medical biller conveys to the patient about the copay that needs to be paid to the provider if required. If a particular medical service is not covered under the insurance plan of the patient, an advance beneficiary notice of non-coverage needs to be signed by the patient. Undertaking to pay for the medical service from out-of-pocket expense or to refuse the service altogether. A very important third step in medical billing process is medical documentation. And in this step, there is a discussion between patient and a physician. This step, encounters between patient and the physician. Fourth is medical coding. The medical coder, after reviewing the reports, extract all the billable services provided to the patient and assigns a specific code to each of these services. These codes are then entered into the super bills. Fifth step in the medical billing process is a claim submission. The medical biller reviews the super bill and ensures that respective charges for each of the billable codes are entered into the claim form. Claim scrubbing is the process of verifying the claims for any errors and checking its format compatibility with the insurance player. Sixth step is payment posting. When the claim is approved or denied, an explanation of benefit is sent to the healthcare provider. The medical biller has to evaluate the explanation of benefit and post it in the medical billing software. The biller also prepares a patient invoice describing the patient's responsibility. The seventh and final step of billing process is accounts receivable and collections. Now, accounts receivable department handles the function of identification, monitoring, and following up on pending payments either from insurance company or from the patient. Identification of a pending payments is done through generation. So, the reports called aging reports. If the patient is reluctant to pay the bill, then the case is handed over to the collection agency. Now let's learn about the outcome of claim submission process. There are three options. The claims, either it is accepted, it is denied, or rejected. Now, when the claim is absolutely clean claim, it is very much accepted as a claim and payment is made. If the information provided is incomplete or illegible, then the claim can be denied either in part or in full, and then the request can be done for additional information. But if there is an inconsistent claim format, out of network patient, incorrect policy number or so, the claim can get rejected also. Clearing houses are intermediaries between the healthcare practices and the insurance payers that help to transmit electronic claims to the insurance payers in a very secure way. The medical biller has to take utmost care while preparing a medical bill. But still, some common medical billing errors are possible. Now let's see the errors in medical billing which are possible. Number one, inaccurate or incomplete information. This is very common type of error in the billing process, where the information entered into the billing software is either incomplete or inaccurate. Another type of mistake or error can take place is an insurance verification error. Failing to verify the insurance details in timely manner leads to this kind of errors. Third is domino effect error. This kind of error arises due to the wrong medical reports detected by the physician or transcribed by the medical transcriptionist, or a wrong coding by the medical coder will transcend down the medical biller and will lead to the domino effect kind of error. Yet another one kind of error can take place is a wrong outdated claim format. If the medical biller uses a wrong claim form or used an outdated claim form to submit the claim, the insurance payer will straight away reject the claim. There is a possibility of undercoding, upcoding or unbundling error also. If a medical biller on the request of the healthcare provider intentionally undercodes or upcodes or unbundles the procedure in order to receive any type of a financial or a taxation or a audit benefit, then legitimate, this is considered as a fraudulent practice. So we have seen certain errors which are possible in medical billing. Now let's learn about pricing. The pricing structure for medical coding and billing are almost identical. Here are some medical billing pricing strategies adopted by this industry. Number one is percentage based model. So in this model, what happens? Charging a particular percentage on a total net connections of a healthcare practice is the most preferred method for billing. The medical billing company usually charges between 3% or 4% of the total collection. Second type is full-time equivalent model. This full-time equivalent model is equivalent to one medical biller hired as a full-time employee and works for a full-time, that is 8 hours per day and 5 days per week. This full-time equivalent do not represent the number of employees. The another style is per claim model. In the per claim model, the rate is negotiable to be paid for each claim processed by the billing department. Average rate for billing per claim usually ranges from $2 to $3. There are certain healthcare providers who only need an account receivable and collection part of the process to be outsourced to a particular vendor. They either perform the billing services in-house or outsource to another vendor. In such cases, the vendor needs to provide the rates for only accounts receivable and collection service to the provider, which is usually around $15 per hour. Now let's understand the softwares, electronic softwares, which are used for billing process. Which are preferred one? Rather than preference, a thorough research in terms of user need and the budget need is to be performed before settling on a specific billing of a medical software. The use of electronic softwares for billing speeds up the billing process. These medical billing softwares are available as software as a service. Short form, it is very popularly known as a SaaS. And the user has to pay a monthly or annual charges for their usage. The names of few other electronic medical billing softwares are PracticeSuite, Elegance MD, Therabill, New MD, Iridium Suite, etc. So in this session, what we have learned is the types of insurance and what is insurance, the medical billing and the skill of medical billers, which are the certifying bodies, various medical billing terms we have learned, health insurance payer and which are the plans, that also we have studied. What do you mean by claim form and how that medical billing process takes place, we have understood. And lastly, we have already also covered how the pricing takes place. So thanks for attending this session. Thanking you.